You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
New technologies have always been announced and marketed as ways to advance society and push humanity forward. This past couple of years, the hot new technology seems to be generative AI, which, from its inception, now sees use across almost every sector. From digital marketing to Google to Facebook, no part of the internet seems exempt from artificial intelligence. The mass use of artificial intelligence has, however, raised alarm bells for some who say its use and spread may disproportionately affect some groups of people. I speak to Senior Lecturer in the Faculty of Information and Technology in Monash University in Melbourne, Jathan Sadowski, about how new technology, particularly AI, seems to always benefit those on top. So a lot of your work seems to centre around how technology interacts with societal power structures. I think during a lot of our childhoods, we were fed narratives that advanced technology would be an equalising factor in creating a more balanced world. Is that the case with new technology today?
Right. Well, that's exactly right. A lot of my work is focused on understanding technology as the product of relations of social power and financial value. So you're exactly right. Like, a lot of the narratives that we've been sold for a very long time around technology is that it's this thing that almost exists outside of society, outside of people, and it's this progressive force that pushes us forward, that rises all boats, that advances civilization. And, you know, we can point to a lot of examples of technology really improving our lives and improving society in meaningful ways, but that is never disconnected from the fact that technology is designed by, developed by, deployed by an increasingly smaller group of people with access to enormous amounts of wealth, enormous amounts of value and influence. And it's their interest that dictate how technology is designed, how it's implemented in our lives. And sometimes that aligns with the interest of everybody else. But I think increasingly we're seeing that the elites that control technology may not have our interest at heart at all times.
And if we're looking at the new big trends in technology at the moment, seems to be artificial intelligence, particularly generative AI. To start us off on that train, what's the use case for generative AI at the moment?
I think that's a great question, because it's the question everybody is asking pretty much in every institution, every sector, every industry right now, is what's the use case for this technology? Generative AI strikes me as a solution looking for problems to solve. It does not have this, it's framed as a kind of universal solution for any problem, as something that has use cases that are too innumerable to count. But when we actually look at it in practice, a lot of the ways that generative AI is being used are not very effective. We see a lot of failure. We see a lot of problems. We see a lot of promises that if we just wait long enough, the technology will get better. It will solve the problems that it's promised us it can solve. But currently, it's really a hammer looking for nails. And I think that's a huge problem with generative AI, is that there's so much speculation and there's so much promise, but there's also so much uncertainty that it will actually be able to make good on the things that we're told it can do.
And with some of that speculation, with some of that talk, I mean, from the inception, I guess, of generative AI starting out, there's been some talk in the creative sector about the risks that it might pose to jobs. We've already seen this happening with things like the Coca-Cola Christmas ad this year, among other cases. Should we expect that this issue will continue further?
I think we should. And that links up to what I was saying earlier around how this technology is the product of an overarching political economy, right? A kind of overarching financial imperatives that drive this technology forward and really influence how it's designed. And so if we think about the interest of the companies creating this technology and the companies that are buying and using the technology, their interests have for a very long time been to improve their own power and improve their own profits, while also decreasing the rights of labor, evading any forms of regulation or social accountability. And it should be no surprise that they have found a technology in AI that allows them to push those goals even further. I think the big question is how successful they will actually be, because if we look at that Coca-Cola ad that you were talking about, personally to me, it looks really bad. If it was not for the handicap of being generated by AI, which kind of gives this sense of a spectacular wonder, because, ooh, wow, it was created by technology. If it wasn't for that handicap, I think a lot of people would look at that and say, this is actually a really bad design. Not to mention that in order for that commercial to be aired or to be shared, it actually required a huge amount of background labor from human production designers, graphic designers, and other people who could ensure that the product of the AI was actually something that made sense, that actually had the Coca-Cola logo accurately portrayed throughout the commercial, for example. And so I think that speaks to another thing that AI is really good at doing right now, which is hiding the amount of human labor that's required to actually make AI seem like it's working. It's a real kind of Wizard of Oz situation where you've got this wondrous technology seemingly doing these magical things, but you just, as long as you don't look behind the curtain and see all of the hidden human labor that is actually pulling the gears and making it work.
And I think to a lot of us, right, there's a big question there of whether that human labor will continue to be necessary moving forward. I mean, are there signs that that will continue, or what do we think of there?
Yes, absolutely. If anything, there's more human labor needed. With the larger that these systems become, the larger the value chains become for AI, the more human labor is needed to train the models in terms of cleaning up the data, for example, and ensuring that the systems are not trained on toxic data or stolen data, as we're seeing now with a number of budding lawsuits against these companies for essentially stealing copyrighted data to train their models. There's a lot of labor involved in terms of maintaining and building the infrastructure for these systems, all of the data centers, the expansions of energy grids, the infrastructure needed to keep the systems running. And there's a lot of labor involved at the institutional level with the use of these systems in terms of ensuring that there's appropriate oversight, that the technology is not producing something that could cause some kind of unintended consequences depending on the institution it's being used, in terms of also changing people's jobs so that it is oriented around smoothing the pathway for AI to work. And so there is a lot of human labor that's needed. Like, this promise that AI is going to replace people is, I don't think, ever going to be really actualized in any meaningful way. Instead, rather than replacing people, what I think we're going to see and what we have already seen is a lot of displacing people. And so the people are still there. They're just hidden, or they're just doing different things, or they're just kind of, their job is to make sure the AI works. And so it's always kind of in service to this technology rather than what it should be, which is the technology should be serving us. It should be making our lives better rather than changing our lives so that we behave in ways that improve the AI.
Mm. And then lastly, you'll be talking about these topics and others during your talks in New Zealand the start of next month. Could you just briefly talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first week of December, I'll be giving a series of talks on the 2nd of December in Wellington, the 4th in Dunedin, and the 6th in Auckland. I'll be giving talks titled A Ruthless Criticism of AI. And this is me really breaking down this underlying political economy of AI and the forms of social power and financial interest that really drive the development and consequences of AI. And all of this is in support of my new book that comes out in early January called The Mechanic and the Luddite, A Ruthless Criticism of Technology and Capitalism.
That was Senior Lecturer in the Faculty of Information and Technology at Monash University in Melbourne, Jathan Sadowski, speaking to me about how technology and AI interact with power structures in our society. You can find more information about his talks and book linked in this interview's podcast later today on the 95BFM website.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.